That's what her dad said. They were the regular ones in the family. Tina and Leanne were shallow and narcissistic, but they loved them anyway because she and Dad had substance. "What is that you're holding?" Tina asked, pointing at the blouse on the hanger. "Nothing." "It looks like something. Did you make that? That color doesn't work at all on you. Yellow? Megan, how many times do I have to explain the purpose of clothing? To enhance what you barely have? Or in your case, make it look like more than it is." Megan glanced at the yellow thrift store blouse she'd bought for $3 and basically taken apart and put back together so that it looked like a sexy Chanel design. At least, that had been the plan. It was pretty enough, and the fit was perfect. But something was missing. Maybe if she changed the buttons. "I worked on this in my design class today." Tina sighed and returned to face the mirror again. "I swear, I don't understand why your father indulges you the way he does. You can take all the craft classes you want, but don't for a minute think you can make a career out of any of them." "It's not crafts, it's fashion design." "Whatever, be realistic. I don't mean to be cruel, but the truth is you're very unlikely to marry well. You don't have that much going on for you. You'll have to make your own way. You need skills." The speech was familiar, a variation on the same theme she'd been hearing for years. Only beautiful women got to marry well. Only beautiful women got to have perfect lives. Lesser mortals simply lived in pain and suffering until they were mercifully put out of their misery by death. Normally, Megan could hear the words and let them wash over her without them touching her at all. But not tonight. "You're wrong," she said, deliberately inviting trouble. "I have talent. And I mean with more than just eyeliner. My teachers say that..." Tina rose and tightened the belt on her silk bathrobe. She might have been 40, but she had a body even Megan had to envy. "Your teachers are delighted to cash the checks for the exorbitant tuition they charge at that ridiculous design school. They're going to say whatever they have to, so the money keeps coming. Look at yourself, Megan. You're a disaster. Those jeans are cut all wrong. Your t-shirt has stains on it. Your hair looks like something cats slept in. When you look in the mirror, do you see designer? You're much more the secretary type. Accept that and move on." "I hate you." The words boiled up inside, but years of practice kept them from spilling out. Without saying anything, Megan left her mother's room and returned to her own. Her friend, Allegra, was sitting on the bed, flipping through a magazine. "And?" Megan tossed the blouse on the floor. "I'm so stupid. No, what's beyond stupid? I got a great verbal score on my SATs. I should know." Allegra grabbed the blouse and held it to her chest. The buttery yellow shone against her caramel skin. "I love this. You're doing great work." Megan joined her on the bed and flopped back on the pillow. "Maybe." "Hey." Her friend poked her in the arm. "What happened to all the excitement? You love design school. You're going to be a great designer, and I will be your star model. Let's talk about your collection."
"I'm 18 and in my first design class. I need to talk about my homework."
"Attack of the killer mom?"
"Right to the heart with a quick jab to the creative spirit."
"Want me to call my therapist? I have his home number."
"It's Friday night."
"He's old, like 50. What else has he got to do?"
Megan laughed. "I'll be fine."
"Are you sure? Because I can call."
She probably could. Allegra's parents were successful professionals who worried about their only daughter's emotional state. Allegra had been in therapy since she was 6. From what Megan could tell, her friend was the most rational, normal, loyal person she knew. But Allegra's parents didn't see it that way. "I'm beyond fine. I'm in a dimension of goodness that requires me to get up off the bed. We're going to the party." Allegra groaned and collapsed in a dramatic